Russian phenomenon pianist Igor Levit there at the 2012 City of London Festival in a pair of Beethoven sonatas at the start, the Sonata No. 10 in G Major, Opus 14, No. 2. And following on from it, almost without a break, the 29th of the sonatas, the one better known as the Hammerklavier. And it ends today's Radio 3 lunchtime concert. It's just gone 2 o'clock and time now for this week's early music show. It's introduced by Lucy Skeeping.
Today, the music of Marcos Antonio da Fonseca Portugal. No, I hadn't heard of him either, but he turns out to be quite an interesting composer. And as you might expect, he was indeed from Portugal. Marcos Portugal, as I'll call him, lived around the same time as Beethoven and Goya. That is, he was at his artistic height in the late 1700s and first decades of the 1800s. Like them, and millions of others for that matter, he too was deeply affected by the wars that fanned out across Europe in the wake of the French Revolution. But in his case, the impact of the Napoleonic Wars takes us across the Atlantic to Brazil, where he was to spend the final decades of his life. Around 40 operas bear Marcos Portugal's name, many of them opera buffa, lightweight comedies that were great hits with the public. But we're going to explore today some of his sacred music written for the Portuguese royal family. The performers all through are the singers and players of the Swiss-based Ensemble Turicum, part of their concert given at the 2013 Zurich Early Music Festival. And to help us discover more about this still rather shadowy composer, I'm delighted to be joined here in the studio by the musicologist Antonio Jorge Marques of the New University of Lisbon. Thanks so much for coming in, Antonio.
It's my pleasure.
I'm really looking forward to hearing about Portugal's career in a moment, but let's hear some of his music first. What are we going to start with?
We're going to start with a Dixit Dominus that was part of the Vespers of Our Lady of Conception. And we're talking about 1816, 1824, round about there. The Dixit Dominus was probably composed in 1816, and it was then used for the Vespers in 1824. So, Rio de Janeiro, Royal Chapel or Imperial Chapel.
See.
Dixit Dominus by Marcos Antonio da Fonseca, Portugal, whose liturgical music we are featuring all through today's programme. The performers were Ensemble Turicum, directed by Matthias Weibel and Luís Alves da Silva. So, Antonio, I'm afraid I don't actually know much about Portugal, the man. So how did you come across his music, and was there a sort of general revival?
No, there was no revival. I became interested in his music because I sang in the Lisbon Chamber Choir for many, many years. While I was studying musicology at the university, I thought up this PhD project to study his sacred music. It turns out that his sacred music, up until about 10 years ago, was virtually invisible. He became internationally known, in fact, internationally famous, basically as an opera composer. But his sacred music was very well known both in Portugal and Brazil, but also in Spain, in France, and in England. And the reason for being known in England is that Vincent Novello was the organist and music director at the chapel of the Royal Portuguese Embassy. We're talking about 1797, 98. And so he had music by better-known composers, but he also imported from Portugal music from Portuguese composers. And Marcos Portugal, or as he became known internationally, Marco Portogallo, that's the Italian version of his name, some of his music was played at the embassy, at the chapel. And in fact, I have a quote here from an Anglican organist. I went with my visitors, Mrs. Hewitt and Miss Carpenter, to the Catholic chapel in South Street, Grosvenor Square, to hear a mass composed by Portogallo. I was not much gratified by the music. I thought it too light and frivolous.
Do you think the idea of him being light and frivolous had anything to do with the fact that he was such a prolific writer of operas, and indeed his time spent studying in Italy as a younger man?
That is very well put, yes, definitely. But also, the man who was paying him, and that's the Prince Regent John, who later became King John VI, he didn't like sad music. He liked very happy music. And in fact, the Requiem that Portogallo wrote for his mother, Mary I, is in a major key for starters, but it also has some dance-like rhythms, which is very unusual for Requiem.
Now, we're talking here not about the English royal family, of course, but the Portuguese royal family in Lisbon, which is where Portugal actually worked. What was his relationship like with them? Was he sort of their house composer?
Well, he was a favourite of the Queen, and especially a favourite of the Prince Regent. And so the royal family, since 1782, which is the year that he left the Patriarchal Seminary where he studied, they started commissioning works, and they went on commissioning works until 1821. That's when the royal family returned from Brazil to Portugal. So we're talking about dozens and dozens of works, and some of them huge works for very, very special occasions.
Now, you mentioned Brazil. The point, of course, is that Lisbon at this time isn't only the capital of Portugal, but the capital of an empire which incorporated,
exactly,
amongst other places, this huge expanse of Brazil. And in 1811, we actually find not just the royal family living in Rio, but Portugal himself with them. So what brought him there?
Well, in 1807, Portugal was invaded by the French troops. So the royal family fled to Brazil, where they arrived in March 1808. And because Portugal was the favourite of the Prince Regent, he actually called out for him. In fact, he ordered him, that's better put, he ordered him to come and join him in Rio de Janeiro, and for two reasons. So he could compose this music that would better represent the royal power, and also to be the teacher of the daughters and the future emperor of Brazil, Pedro.
It's quite intriguing that Portugal actually stays on in Brazil. Would he therefore have thought of himself as a Portuguese composer at all?
Well, in fact, it is exact, and it is truer to say that he was a Luso-Brazilian composer. And there are two basic reasons for that. One is that he composed the first national anthem of Portugal in 1809, but he also composed the first national anthem of Brazil in 1822. That's the year of the independence of Brazil. And by staying on, he actually became a Brazilian citizen. So in fact, he belongs to both Portugal and Brazil.
Is a God in spirit, friends, in heaven.
A setting of the Magnificat from the Vespers of Our Lady of Conception by Marcos Portugal, performed there by Ensemble Turicum. My guest is Antonio Jorge Marques, an expert in the composer's life and music. So, Antonio, it's quite an unusual sound texture listening to that. I mean, on the whole, it's very much on the lower register. Is it wrong to say that one feels the need perhaps of a violin or a flute or even an oboe?
Well, both the Dixit Dominus and the Magnificat, and also the next piece that we're going to hear, were arranged for strings and basso continuo, but strings without violins. This was an established practice in Portugal and Brazil at the time. So Luís Alves da Silva, he was the one who arranged these pieces.
The director of the group, we've just heard.
The director of the group. He's done these arrangements for low strings and basso continuo, and very well done, I should say. So he's the one to be credited for this work. And so this is why this sounds a bit somber, so to speak. But I should say that this particular style you would call the concertato style. In other words, there's like it creates a web of a very delicate question answer between soloists and choir. So sometimes you hear a soloist and then the choir and so on and so forth. And this was very typical of the time.
What about the style? Some people have said it's got a Rossini kind of feel to it.
Well, it is true that Marcos Portugal was in essence an opera composer. And obviously, this reflects itself on the sacred music. I mean, there's no way that it can be otherwise. And in fact, here is a composer who knows the voice as an instrument profoundly. And he knows exactly what kinds of things he can ask for and what kinds of effects he will obtain. And this is a very important mark of his métier. And as far as this mass that we're going to hear next, I should say that it was composed for Mafra's Basilica. Mafra is a little town about 30 kilometers outside of Lisbon. And what is to know about this basilica, it's incorporated into a very, very big palace that was built in the first half of the 18th century. That's one thing. The other thing is that the acoustical conditions are so bad that the composers were forced to have a very slow harmonic rate, so to speak.
So it's a bit like if you're giving a speech in a very echoey hall, you're told to talk very slowly
so that
people can hear it clearly. It's the same sort of effect.
Exactly. This is one of the reasons why this music is what it is. And in fact, one interesting thing is that he took lots of this repertoire, he took it to Brazil, and then he adapted it to mixed voices and orchestra. So male voices and 4 to 6 organs. And then this music is taken to Brazil and is adapted for a mixed choir or mixed voices and orchestra. So the music, as I say, because the Prince Regent didn't like somber music, didn't like sad music, there's always a festive and kind of gay quality that this music has.
Well, thank you very much, Antonio, for coming in and talking to us about Portugal. I must say, I couldn't have done it on my own. For the last half hour of the programme, in fact, more or less, we're going to hear Marco Portugal's Mass in F. Can you tell us something about what we're going to hear? We're just two sections, isn't it?
Originally, the Mass has five sections out of the ordinary of the Mass, which is Kyrie, Gloria, Credo, Sanctus, and Agnus Dei. And in this case, we're only going to hear the first two, Kyrie and Gloria. I should perhaps add that this arrangement by Luiz Alves da Silva was from an older version of the last music director of Mafra's Basilica. It was a priest, João da Soledade. The original version is for four organs and male voices, and it was probably composed around 1804. And this version of João da Soledade is just for one organ, so Luiz Alves da Silva produced this version for low strings and basso continuo.
And do we think this is the way Portugal would have conceived it at first?
Well, he conceived it for the four organs. But as I say, lots of these works he took to Brazil and he adapted them. So what is important about this music is that it's a functional music. I mean, it's not sacred in the sense that you cannot touch it. Okay, it's only sacred in the sense that it's sang in church, but you can touch it. And one of the characteristics of quite a few of Portugal's works is that they received many versions. Some of them remained in the church's repertoire for over a century, and they received 15, 20 versions, which is absolutely amazing.
Thank you. Gloria, Gloria.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Mass in F by the Portuguese-Brazilian composer Marcos Antonio Portugal, performed at the 2013 Zurich Early Music Festival by Ensemble Turicum, directed by Matthias Weibel and Luis Alves da Silva. And it ends this week's Early Music Show on the work of Marcos Antonio Portugal. The studio guest was Antonio Marques, and the programme was introduced by Lucy Skeeping. You're listening to BBC Radio 3. It's just gone 3 o'clock and time now for Choral Evensong, which was first broadcast live last Wednesday from Worcester Cathedral. The canticles are Kenneth Layton's second service. Written in 1971, they were commissioned by the Cathedral Organists Association in memory of Brian Runnett, one-time organist and master of the choristers at Norwich Cathedral. The anthem is Brahms' Geistliches Lied, composed in 1856. It's a setting of a prayer by the 17th century German poet Paul Flaeming. Do not let yourself be depressed by sadness. What God ordains is and is known to be best. And the service opens now with an introit by Peter Narden, the organist and director of music at Worcester Cathedral, with words by Edward Denny, Light of the Lonely Pilgrim's Heart.
Welcome to Evensong. A special welcome to those of you listening via the BBC, to the gentlemen and, broadcasting for the first time, the girl choristers of the Cathedral Choir. We are in Worcester Cathedral, and above us in the painted ceiling are images of the saints, reminding us of the rich heritage of the faith in which we share. The psalmist writes, Give the Lord the honour due unto his name. Worship the Lord with holy worship.
O Lord, open thou our lips.
And
the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Praise ye the Lord. His love, his mercy brightens all the path in which we rove. Psalms 21 and 29.